Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
This is Chef Emily Peterson, host of Sharp and Hot. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Pizza Party. I'm your host, Talia Ralph. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from none other than Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn, in wafting distance from some of New York's best pizza. We've been eating Roberta's Pizza for 3 weeks now here on Pizza Party, and myself, the hosts and guests of Heritage Radio have been eating it for far longer than that. It's about damn time they got their own hour on the radio, which they now have as of this season, Tuesdays from 7 to 7:30, so be sure to tune in. But it was also only a matter of time before we got one of the pizza chefs out from behind the peel to spill some of the secrets to Roberta's addictive pies. Today is that day, people. We've torn him away for a precious half hour, a man who has been called a guru, a pizza czar, the founding pizzaiolo. Am I saying that right?
Pizzaiolo, yeah, that's pizzaiolo. Good. I like pizza guy better.
But. Pizza guy. All right, let's go with pizza guy for pronunciation's sake. The founding pizza guy of Roberta's, a man who also happens to be the talented artist behind much of Roberta's swag, Anthony Falco. Anthony, thanks so much for being on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Of course, anytime. You want to walk in anytime, you're invited.
Cool, it's close by, so.
Not too far a walk. So take me back to the beginning. How did you find out about Roberta's? How did you get involved? Did you think Chris and Brandon were crazy or geniuses or both or neither? What? How did you sort of come into the mix?
They're definitely crazy geniuses.
Fair.
I was bartending with Brandon at a bar in Williamsburg, and we were, you know, bartending and throwing parties, and one of the things we would do before it would ever get busy is draw, and like he would give me ideas and I would draw, and it was a lot of pizza related stuff, like a Ninja Turtle in space eating pizza, and he told me he was, you know, because he, and I realized it was because he was about to start a pizza place, so
it all makes sense.
He had a lot
now.
Of pizza on the brain at that time. And I was like, I want to make pizza. Like this is, you know, something I really love. And, I came for the first night of Roberta's,
back when you're cooking on propane burners, right?
yeah, all the back kitchen food was on propane burners. There was no heat. it was just the main dining room. Mm. And what they did for the opening night was just give away free pizza. And it was just like shoulder to shoulder, huge party of people. There was pizzas just, you know, being thrown around the place and you had to grab one. And it was like really kind of life altering pizza. It was really great. I've never had like such great ingredients on pizza. And, it was really just, it cinched the fact for me that I really wanted to come in and work here. So I started in the pizza kitchen, later, that week, and
which was 2008,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and started working, you know, side by side with Brandon and Chris and Carlo, and I really loved it, and I went from being like part time pizza maker, part time bartender to, you know, officially retiring from bartending, and just becoming I was the first manager of the pizza kitchen, and it was just really fun. It was just something that never got old. I used to go to the bar after work, and I would always smell like pizza.
And, and everyone would hate you.
Yeah.
I mean, or love you.
Yeah. It was just like, you know, it was a lifestyle that I really couldn't find too many things wrong with. So I really liked it and just, you know, dedicated myself to it.
Yeah, you're making me sad, and I'm sure a lot of listeners sad that we weren't at that first shoulder party with like waves of pizza coming through the crowd. So had you made pizza before that, or?
I had not made pizza professionally before. I'd been cooking, you know, since I was in high school. I was, you know, a dishwasher, bagel maker, and French fry cook, and
bagels is probably like not the worst training.
I made pizza bagels. at this place.
Perfect.
I made the best pizza bagels too.
You'll come back for our pizza bagel episode because pizza bagels, I think, deserve a full half hour to themselves. But
absolutely.
Can you take us back a little further to like your first pizza experience that made you, you know, if not want to make it, sort of made you fall in love with it?
Yeah, absolutely. My dad, his that side of my family, they're all from Sicily originally. Came to the United States at the turn of the century, and they were in Texas in a small Sicilian farming community.
Awesome.
Most Sicilians came to the United States via New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Sicilians are very, you know, from small towns, agricultural farmers, and they wanted to do something like that. And so they went to Texas to get land and farm. And so the food at those family gatherings was always, you know, very much a big, you know, stereotypical Italian feast. And one of the things that my great-grandmother, Lena, she used to always make pizza. And she would make these big square pizzas with vegetables from her garden, and she'd bake bread, and you know, there was always sauce and pasta and every, you know, it was you know what you expect. And mm-hmm. that pizza was, I guess, that's my starting point for pizza.
That is an excellent starting point. I was actually just reading, I'm blanking on the guy's name because I'm a bad student, but sort of how Italian food like resisted assimilation in America, and part of it is just like because it's so good. Like that's part of the argument, is like just because it's delicious food and it's accessible food.
Yeah.
And Italians were so proud of it that they just like fiercely hung on to it and like, we know what we're doing,
right?
Don't tell us to do it differently,
you know. And in Texas, it's a great case point for it, because you have these people that are like dressed in cowboy hats and you know, they're like farming and stuff like that, and you know, indistinguishable from any other Texan, yet they would go home to these big Sicilian mm-hmm. feasts. And you know, there used to be this the San Giuseppe Day. We would always have the same kind of pasta with fava beans and things like that. It was those kind of food cultural institutions, really, they resist change throughout the generations. So.
Thank God. Where would we be? We'd have no Roberta's Pizza, or it would be different. So did you have like a guru or like a master teacher that you learned from, or you just sort of picked it up from?
Yeah, I mean, Chris and Brandon had gone to Italy, and they had brought back the dough recipe, and they had learned to make mozzarella. I mean, all the foundations of Roberta's Pizza had happened before I came to the scene, for mm-hmm. sure. And I felt like what my role was as Roberta's had expanded to this kind of mini, mini different headed beast that mm-hmm. does so many other things. I kind of just kept my head in the pizza mm-hmm. And we all worked together. You know, me and Carlo developed new pizza recipes, and none of us were under the illusion that we had anything right in the beginning, and it was always about like trying to make it better. And so I spent a lot of time trying to make that foundation, Roberta's Pizza, which was a very, you know, already started off, I felt was great, and it was unique. It was something that I just really wanted to continue to make better, and always had a great team of people around to, you know, share ideas with and achieve that goal.
For sure. So speaking of the team, I've been working here for 8 months now. I always walk by the pizza kitchen because it's open, but I'm always like very in awe and almost very intimidated of what's going on there. Can you like sort of shed light on what the workflow is, how many pizza makers you are, what are the steps, sort of like how the team works? Because
sure.
to me it's like this mysterious ballet that I'm always like, how are they doing it over there?
Yeah, I mean, there's like a veritable pizza army working for Roberta's, especially right now in the spring and the fall. We have just a lot of stuff going on and a lot of pizzas mm-hmm. being made. We have
more so than summer, winter, or
because in the spring and the fall we have 7-day-a-week mobile operations. So
okay.
there's actually a whole team of pizza makers that are in Manhattan right now. There's two different ovens that are there. And we do like freeze art fair in the spring. Like, so during freeze art fair, when we have Madison Freeze Art Fair and Roberta's Pizza going all at once, on the busiest day, there'll be 3,000 pizzas that are made.
It's a lot of pizza.
So it requires a lot of a big team of a lot of really talented people. So we have in the restaurant, there's Chris Ancona. Mm-hmm. He's one of the Pizza Kitchen heads. And then there's Mike Zorman, also one of the Pizza Kitchen heads in the pizza in the restaurant. And then we have in takeout and delivery, there's Eric Schwartzberger, and Cal Egan is over there. And they're heading up the takeout and delivery part. Mm-hmm. And then for mobile operations, it's headed up by Pete Litchie. And then he has Ben Tanzel assisting him in all that.
Okay. So that's six. And then do you have more sort of like sous chefs or people working on specific like pies or ingredients or how does it break down?
That's the team leaders.
That's the core.
Yeah, that's the core. That's the group.
The A team.
I hope I'm not forgetting anyone in that. And we're all assisted by Carlo and Nick Barker, who give us like their culinary expertise kind of, and then, you know, we translate that into pizza. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's the team. And then, Pete, when he's not directly running, the mobile operations, he like assists me in executing like all other pizza projects that come down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So
such as,
We have our frozen pizza line,
mm-hmm.
and that's at Whole Foods in Tribeca, Whole Foods, Gowanus. You can get it delivered by goodeggs.com.
Cool.
They'll deliver to your house.
Mm-hmm.
There's Upper East Side, this place called Babes Feast. You can buy it there. Brooklyn Kitchen, you can buy it,
mm-hmm.
where Pete and I also teach pizza class there.
Mm-hmm. That's under the umbrella of Pizza Projects, for sure.
Yeah, it's a pizza project.
Just love that header, Pizza Projects.
Yeah.
Are they all?
Oh, we have we have folders of pizza projects, and there's some pizza black operations that I can't even tell you about here on the radio right now.
Maybe I'll, we can talk about it later.
Maybe off air.
I'll leaf through them and black out certain words.
I'll give you a heavily redacted file.
Like what the FBI sends out to journalists, which is like, you can't read anything.
Yeah.
So I might just be like blowing this up in my head because I've never made pizza and I still think it's very, very, very cool. But I feel like you all have like nicknames and signature moves. This is supported by like a couple articles that have been written where, you know, sort of says that at Roberta's you allow your pizza makers a certain amount of freedom to to do what they want. I mean, do you have a signature move? Do people have nicknames? Am I making this up in my
head? Yeah, there's some truth to this. So I'll break it down with basically the so those are all like many different pizza ops, but every single pizza op is basically, it's broken down by a team of people, no matter how big or small it is, that are executing different functions in the mm-hmm. pizza. It's a very team-oriented type of food to cook, mm-hmm. So you have, starting at the bottom, you have toppers. And toppers are like, if we're really...
it's kind of ironic.
Yeah.
Bottom are the...
Right. Anyway. Started from the bottom.
Now we're here.
Started from the top. So toppers basically require very little pizza making skill other than the ability to put the toppings on,
mm-hmm.
You'd be surprised.
Just still skilled.
How easily you can fuck that up.
Yeah.
What we do is someone walks in off the street, we put a white shirt on them, and they're like, you're a topper now. Yeah, you're a topper.
So that's the job I should apply for.
Yeah, that's how you would start. You would start as a topper. And so essentially you would learn the margarita pizza first, and you would give you a ladle, and it goes down, and you have to make a circle of tomato sauce. And that, like I said, that's actually a lot harder than it sounds.
Yeah.
And then the topping distribution is very important, like the size of the mozzarella chunks, where you put the basil, the olive oil, and then you have to actually commit to memory the entire lexicon of Roberta's pizza recipes, which is can be a lot.
Get to that in a
and
second.
The like topping order is very specific in some of those pizzas.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you start topper. Once you've kind of, you can make pretty pizzas that cook well, that you've remembered all of the recipes and you can execute them properly, then you can start trying your hand at flapping. And flapping is the art of taking a dough that's been proofed overnight, and it's in its little state of being like this big tall pillow.
Mm-hmm. And dough pillow.
Yeah, and so the flapper's job is to take that and flap it out into a 12-inch circle or a 9-inch circle if we're doing the mobile operations, do smaller pizzas. And yeah, we give you freedom. We want the final product to be a certain way. And if you, you know, some guys throw it in the air, then we call those spinners.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is exactly what
I'm not making any of this up, I promise.
I believe you. That's why I wanted to know what are the babes. Okay, spinners, flappers.
And then there's stretchers who just do it by hand. And then every once in a while, someone will come in from somewhere else and has some more unorthodox styles, like stretching it off the side of the deck and... you know, there's like, in Naples, they have a style where they like hold one side down with their hand and then pull the other side down up with their other hand. But whether you spin it or you just stretch it or whatever you do, you know, we want it to come out the other end looking a certain way. And so those, mm-hmm. it's a very important position, flappers, mm-hmm. because they've got to do that fast and they can't, create, it can't be too thin in the middle. It's got to be round. It's got to be 12 inches. You know, it's got to be the exact same size and round every time. Mm-hmm. So that once you've kind of mastered topping and flapping, then we're going to give you a chance to learn the oven, which is, in very high volume pizza situations like we work in, you know, it's a big skill. That valuable skill for us. So the oven guy is kind of the last chance to do everything right. Mm-hmm. So if the dough was made properly and the mozzarella was made properly and the topper topped it properly and the flapper flapped it properly, if the oven is not, you know, heated right, if the guy, you know, cooks it too long in one spot and not long, he can mess all that up. So all that hard work can mm-hmm. go. So he's the last chance to really get it right.
It's the high pressure.
Yeah, it's the control. High pressure. It's in some senses it's easier, but it's a lot more pressure, mm-hmm. which is in its timing. Like everything happens in seconds in that oven because it's like 1,000 degrees. In
yeah,
there. It's hot.
Small margins of error.
Yeah,
we're gonna take a break in just a second, but I have one more burning question. Many other less burning questions.
Wah, wah, burning.
Not a thing you want to talk about in conjunction with the pizza oven. But how do you name the pizzas / come up with the topping?
Ooh, that's a very good question.
Combos.
Yeah. You want it? What now or before after
yes,
the break?
Yes, now.
There's no quick answer for that. You
right
know what
now.
I mean? The namings, it's like it's just kind of like it happens. It's a committee. Sometimes you come up with a really good name and you want to make a pizza like that has like that just has that name. And then other times you really, you know, we're doing a lot of seasonal ingredients, so you know, spring and fall vegetables start coming, and we really want to. You know, feature those pizzas. So then you make the pizza and then it's like, shit, I gotta name this pizza.
We all sit around like eating five of them. Until
nobody sits in the kitchen. Mostly people are standing for 12
standing
hours at a time. but you're standing around and yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it just like either the person created has a first shot or other people come in. I mean, I used to make pizzas a lot and then other people would name them because I didn't want to make the pizza and then name it too. I felt like I wanted to have those kind of things be separate, have somebody from an outside perspective name it.
Mm-hmm. Fresh eyes.
Yeah. I think it's just like, we try not to be too heavy on the puns. My favorite names are like kind of, like two or three steps away from the pizza,
mm-hmm.
you know, like the Nightman. This mm-hmm. is a good name. Is a new pizza that just came up on the menu. I think Chris mm-hmm. Ancona was the creator, and it features eggplant. You know, so it's eggplants are nightshades.
Mm-hmm.
So the Nightman from the whatever Always Sunny in Philadelphia or something.
Yep.
Yeah. So you know,
like that. Make them think about it.
It's not like a pun, you know, but it's like it's a cool sounding name that has some relation to the pizza.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just has no relation. Cool. It's just a cool sounding name.
this is another thing that we're going to need to go over. I want to go like pizza by pizza, but
okay, we can do that.
We can do that some other time, not when people are listening and the clock is ticking. We are going to take a break. Before we do, here's your pizza news brief of the week. Two Portland, Oregon police officers went above and beyond the call of duty earlier this month after a Pizza Hut driver hurt himself in a crash. The two officers offered to deliver his pizza for him after they overheard him on the phone with his boss. The family who was receiving the pizza obviously was a little shocked to see two police officers come up to their door. But once it happened, they did what every self-respecting American would do. They took a photo and put it on Twitter, where it promptly went viral. We will have that up on the Facebook after the show.
Did they tip the officers, though? That's what I want to know.
That's a great question.
How much?
That was not in the news brief. Pizza Party will look into it.
Okay,
we'll let you know.
Yeah, I want to know.
Pizza is also the latest edible to enter the growing medical marijuana market in states where the drug's now legal. An LA-based startup called Stoned Oven Gourmet Pizzas, aptly enough, is making pizzas infused with marijuana. 6-inch pie contains 250 milligrams of THC, which is the concentrate, and they're available at Hollywood and in the San Fernando Valley, Upland, and Westwood areas for $10 each. Podi Pizza, which is also another California-based company, is catering to the homemade pizza aficionados with weed-laced pizza sauce currently being sold in LA, San Francisco, Washington State, and Colorado. So if you are listening from there, check it out. If you have tried it, let us know what you think.
We've never done that at Roberta's.
Not legal yet.
Never.
Not ever.
Not once.
I believe you. A good group of friends took pizza pranks to the next level in Manchester, England this week, engaging in a little drive-by pizza thievery. A driver of the car pulled over to a bus stop where an unsuspecting man was waiting with a pizza, grabbed it out of his hands, and drove away. They reportedly bought him a replacement pizza later. I don't know how they found him or like made that happen, but reportedly they did. But the police were not happy. A spokesman for the Greater Manchester Police told the Daily Mail that the consequences of ignoring traffic lights can be catastrophic and is absolutely no laughing matter, quote unquote. No charges appear to have been pressed. In a little bit darker news, Richard Yeager, a 35-year-old delivery man for Domino's Pizza in New Orleans, was shot to death this week in Mid-City after what appeared to be a carjacking. The New Orleans Police Department is investigating, as am I, because since I began tracking pizza news, I've noticed a startling number of pizza delivery-related violence and deaths. I'm not sure if this is like more so than other delivery people or other professions, but it is strange. So stay tuned for more as the season goes
on.
It's
terrible.
It's really terrible. So that is your pizza news brief for the week, September 25th. You're listening to Pizza Party on Heritage Radio. We'll be back in just a moment with Roberta's head of pizza, Chef Anthony Falco. Stay with us, guys.
Heritage Foods USA has sold pasture-raised, antibiotic-free heritage meats to restaurants and homes around the country. Our farmers raise their animals with care using traditional methods guaranteed to produce the very best-tasting meat. Our pork breeds include Berkshire, Red Wattle, Duroc, Gloucester Old Spot, Large Black, and Tamworth, and our beef comes from Piedmontese, Angus Akiyushi, Belgian Blue, Highland, Simmental, and Belted Galloway cattle. We also carry a rotation of 24 rare breeds of heritage chicken, seasonal specialties like lamb, goat, geese, and of course, heritage turkeys. Visit us online at www.heritagefoodsusa.com or give us a call at 718-389-0985 to place your order today.
We're thrilled to announce a special event, the Silver Snail 25 Years of Slow Food. This event is hosted by Slow Food USA, Heritage Radio Network, and Roberta's Pizza. It's been 25 years since Carlo Petrini and a group of activists launched a peaceful revolution to defend regional traditions, good food, gastronomic pleasure, and the slow pace of life. The slow food movement has since evolved into a comprehensive approach to food that recognizes strong connections between plate, planet, people, politics, and culture. Today, this movement involves thousands of projects and millions of people in more than 160 countries worldwide. Join us for a dialogue between Slow Food's founder, Carlo Petrini, and locavore activist, Alice Waters, as they reflect on the evolution of the food movement and all things slow. Friday, October 3rd from 11:30 to 2:30. You can go to our website and click on the link on the right-hand side of the page to RSVP. We can't wait to see you there.
This is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, and you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Welcome back to Pizza Party. I'm your host, Talia Ralph. We are on home turf today with Anthony Falco, Roberta's pizza guy in residence, and also a talented artist. We also have another talented pizza artist on the line, Michael Carell, a PhD student at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, where he's studying information visualization. He's also the creator of a series of pizza tarot cards. Thanks for hanging with us, Anthony, and for joining us, Michael.
Hi.
Hey. So, Michael, can you tell us just a little bit about what you're studying? I don't think everyone knows what information visualization is, and it's super cool.
Sure. So I'm actually technically a computer scientist. So what we do is we sort of go around to people that have lots of data, and we come up with ways of showing that data visually to them. So whether they have like a ton of, you know, a big database, like how do you show that to people? So it's a little bit of art, it's a little bit of design, and there's a little bit of psychology in it too.
Very cool. So you made this incredible illustrated series of pizza tarot cards, which are riffs on like the classic tarot artwork, but they involve pizza, which I found through one of my guests, Colin Hagendorf's Twitter account. Can you tell me how it came about, what the status of the pizza tarot are? Because they're amazing.
I guess it was sort of a whim, really, but there was an original tweet that I responded to where, and this is still true, if you search for pizza tarot on like Google image search, you get maybe one response, and it borrows a lot of things from existing tarot artwork, but it's, you know, it's not real, like it doesn't really associate with anything. So I thought I'd try to make one that was sincere. And so I had a lot of constraints with there. I was trying to spend less than 20 minutes on each one and trying to go through all of the major arcana in an afternoon. I didn't quite get there, but...
How many have you done?
I got halfway through.
How many have you done in total?
So I've actually done, I think, 14 out of the 22 in total.
Very cool.
Is it enough to read my pizza fortune right now, or is that something that you could do on the radio?
I don't know. I'd have to deal them out. Unfortunately, they're digital, so I think someone else is going to have to take the...
Yeah, you can do digital tarot card readings, though. I've done those in dark moments. So maybe it's like, you know, playing cards online. We can make them happen. Or you could just print them out and laminate them. I'm going to lobby for that. So, Anthony, some people listening may not know that you're also an artist, and you've made wonderfully helpful illustrations about how to reheat Roberta's pizza, which I have used in my pizza journalism.
Did you use that?
Food 52, yeah.
What did you think?
It's great. It's very thorough. I mean, and you said that you were working on a color one, right? Is that one done?
No.
Okay. But you're also the mastermind behind most of the Roberta swag, all of it?
I was... Brandon and I, like, you know, we wanted to do t-shirts a long time ago, but we were just too busy to really kind of do it like in the traditional way, like hire someone. We didn't have enough money either to hire someone and get them screen printed. So mm-hmm. someone came by Roberta's and gave us like a single screen print setup. And so we just kind of, you know, like everything else, just kind of started doing it and trying to get better at it ourselves. And yeah, I drew a lot of the original ones, and then I started, me and Brandon started finding other artists, and it just like the philosophy behind it was to try and get people that maybe weren't traditionally t-shirt designers, people who just loved pizza, people who came in the restaurant, you know, because it would be like making pizza and the guy would be sitting at a table and be like, yo, Zach, can you make a pizza shirt? Like, send it to me next week. Right. Like,
and then Zach,
and he's like, "What do you?" He's like, "What do you want?" And I'm like a dude, like a Viking with some pizza in his hand, and like, you know, in like heavy metal Roberta's letters. Like, he's like, "Sure," and that was yep. how it started. So, some of these guys didn't always, you know, have like really digital background, so I would also do a lot of the color separations and stuff, but mm-hmm. yeah, a few of them I've actually designed myself. If you go to robertaspizza.com/shop, you can see the t-shirts and see all the different artists who made them, and you can order them and buy them and have them shipped to you anywhere in the United States.
Maybe Michael could do one, a tarot card themed one.
Yeah, dude, you want to do a t-shirt for Roberta's?
Yeah, we can make it happen.
Yes.
It sounds okay. Like you're at like a busy pizzeria right now. What did you order?
I think it's actually our pizzeria sound.
Are you,
where are you, Michael?
Michael,
where are you calling us from?
Oh, I'm calling you straight from the lab. So I think the voices are on your end.
Yeah, I think it's our feedback from Roberta's.
This is a
strange vortex that we're in. So I'm glad I made that happen. Maybe I should wait until that goes through. I've been considering, like, finally taking the leap and buying some Roberta swag because I've just been paralyzed by indecision. Do you have a favorite design, Anthony? Can you guide me?
Well, I have a favorite design, but it may not be. It's kind of weird. It's like I did it like a homage to a real tree, like hunting shirt. Mm-hmm. It has like Roberta's popping out in 3D with like a buck.
You have it on your head right now.
Yeah,
in hat
I have
form.
The hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a t-shirt form of that.
I like that one. That one's a little too hardcore for me.
Oh, right now the Pizza Paradise shirt is probably the best shirt we have. It's by Tallboy, who is an artist. He's done some work for some pizzerias in Portland. A really awesome place there. I think it's called, I don't know, I'm not going to talk about some other pizzeria, but
no airtime to other pizzerias right now. Roberta's is enough. Yeah, I'm actually gunning towards one of yours, the Pizza Astronaut one.
Oh, thank
the
you.
Long sleeve black.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's a good one. Now it's long sleeve t-shirt season again.
Yeah,
so
perfect.
There's
timing.
Only a few of those left.
I also like the diamond sweatshirt though, but again, this is not something diamond you listeners really care about, but check out the shirts because they're awesome and they feature art by Anthony. So this is a question for both of you, Michael and Anthony. I'm wondering what you both think it is about pizza that one makes it so visually appealing, because I think it is like among the more visually appealing foods just from a design perspective. I'm biased clearly, but one, where its visual appeal comes from for you, and two, what makes it such a fun obsession for people in general. You can take turns, whoever.
Okay.
I'll start.
Can I go first or?
Oh no, go for it, Michael, you go, please.
Okay.
Visual.
So one of the things that I think is kind of interesting about pizza is there's just sort of, it's kind of a blank slate. I want to say Jungian. Like, there's pizza, and like people's idea of a burger is not really going to vary that much from person to person. Mm-hmm. But people's idea of a pizza can vary wildly. Mm-hmm. Like I'm from the East Coast, and sort of I've moved out west. To the Midwest, and they're all like, I'd never heard of like St. Louis style pizza before, and you know I never really had all the Chicago like deep dishes before, and there's all of these things that can go on that still very clearly iconically pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's fun to, I guess, play around in that space.
For sure. Can you quickly explain to our listeners what St. Louis style pizza is? I've had it because one of my best friends is from Columbia, Missouri, but can you sort of explain the nuance of that really quick for people who maybe don't know?
But I won't lie to you, it's not one of my favorite styles.
Fair.
But
Prevelle is very
it's a very
weird
thin
stuff.
Like cracker crust. Mm-hmm. And then they put Provel cheese, which is like a mixture of like provolone and I don't even know what else is in it.
I think it's provolone and then like American cheese. Like it's like
yeah, it's
some processed
like aggressively
cheese.
Yellow cheese.
Yeah.
So it's a very thin crust, but not like a sort of Neapolitan thin crust. Like it's just like a cracker almost.
And they party cut it, right?
Mm-hmm. And the sauce is a little sweet and has a little more oregano than I guess the traditional sauce.
Anthony's making a face. He doesn't like that.
I'll try it. I'll try any pizza.
Yeah. We at Pizza Party, in case people haven't realized, have a firm, like, all-inclusive pizza standpoint. I'm not trying to, like, take firm negative opinions about any style of pizza. I'm very open. But, yeah. So, Anthony, what about you? What do you think is visually appealing and uniquely obsession-inducing about pizza?
Well, you know, I mean, it's a circle.
Circle of life.
Like, you know, like the Earth, which is what we live on. And the moon and the sun, too. Mm-hmm. So pretty much all life, you know.
Begins and ends.
Yeah, it can relate to a circle.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Mandala.
Yeah, exactly. the pizza om. And then, you know, you slice it and you get like a triangle, which is also geometrically a pretty heavy...
Mm-hmm. Symbolically laden, yeah.
Mathematically loaded symbol. And then it's, you know, like he was saying with like a burger, you know, it's like people get tattoos of burgers on their bodies. but like pizza is one of those things that it, like, if you're like, you know, a vegetarian or, you know, a vegan or pretty much anything except for gluten-free, I mean, you know, you can eat pizza. It's like culturally across all boards. And, you know, it's not it's restricted to anyone. And you can, like, the ability in the age of individualism, you know, the ability to be able to customize your pizza, like however you want, is also like a big part of it. Why people relate to it so much.
Yeah.
Great. And it's delicious.
So delicious. I'm going to go get some from Roberta's
takeout. And you can eat
it with
your hands and, you know,
walking.
God, what else?
Yeah. New Yorkers love it because you can walk with it. Doesn't take any time out of your day.
Yeah.
We are so sadly out of time because I could talk about this forever, but thank you, Michael, for joining us all the way from University of Wisconsin-Madison, and Anthony, both of you, for talking pizza and pizza art. Really appreciate you being on the show. We're going to leave you with, as usual, a slice of the week. This one is from one of my favorite humans and shockingly a Los Angeles-based East Coaster. People love to hate on LA pizza, but Carly Silverman knows. She works at Nickelodeon in Burbank, but she is the reason that I discovered Prince Street Pizza's Grandma Slice here in New York. She led me towards it, proving that LA does not dull your pizza spidey senses. Thanks, Carly. That's another episode of Pizza Party, broadcasting live on Heritage Radio Network from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Thanks to Roberta's for supplying our on-air pizzas this season and lending us today's guest, Anthony Falco. Thanks to my sponsor, the fine musicians of Pizza Party Bass, for our intro song, my engineer Liz, and of course, all of you for listening. Please keep your needs pizza news, your needs of pews. I don't know what I just almost said. Keep sending us your favorite slices. Keep being enthusiastic and opinionated about pizza. I'm your host, Talia Ralph. We'll see you back at the pizza party next week. And yes, there will be pizza. Bye, guys.
Thanks.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.